Well, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad you came already? Hey, let me just say before we kind of jump right into this week six that I want to say just a special word of thanks to Jared for preaching last week, and thank you for your prayers. As you can see, I'm not wearing the patch today. I have a temporary lens until the next surgery, but I'll just say this, you look great. But welcome to week number six of our seven-week message series. I'm a little bit saddened that this is drawing to a close. I feel like it's been such a good series for me, a good reminder to me of who Jesus is and the answers that he provides. This series, if you're joining us for the first time this morning, is based out of the Gospel of John. Now, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and John is a little different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the synoptic or similar gospels. Those synoptic gospels kind of share the chronological stories of Jesus, whereas John wrote with a different kind of twist on it, and his writing centered really around these seven I Am statements of Jesus and the seven miracles really that are in this particular gospel. And then, you know, when you write a letter or you write an email or you send a text or you make a Facebook post, you do it with a reason. You don't just arbitrarily do it. You're wanting to get some type of response or send some type of message that the reader will understand. And John, when you study the Bible, you always need to look for that reason. And in the Gospel of John, it's pretty simple to find the main gist of why he wrote this letter to the people. And it's found in John chapter 20, verse 31. I have it on the screen. And we see his overall reason, our purpose for writing this book. He's written these things so that you, and he's talking about to them, his readers, his disciples, his followers, his listeners, but it applies to us. The Gospel of John is written so that you and I may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and not just believe that who he is, but by believing, it says, that you and I may have life in his name. John didn't just want his readers to just hear about the incredible stories of Jesus, although they're incredible. But he didn't just want them to hear about those great things and those great stories. He wanted the reader to know the person that made those stories great. He wanted people to personally know Jesus. He wanted to introduce others to Jesus so that they would believe in him, and as a result, their lives would produce stories, Jesus stories, of their own. That knowing Jesus, they would also live for Jesus. And in the last few weeks, we've been looking at these statements, these I Am statements in the Gospel of John, and we've uncovered some very important and key truths, spiritual truths found in these statements. You know, in week one, we learned that those who are quenchless, who are always trying to fill that emptiness inside of them. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but we live in a society that all of us are trying to fill this void that's within us. And John says that void that is in you can only be filled by Jesus, the great I Am, the one who is the bread of life and the living water. He will fill you and he will quench your desires. He will quench that need that's inside of you. In week two, we also learned that Jesus, the light of the world, will eliminate the path of those who are walking in spiritual darkness. Turn on any channel of news today and you see that people are wandering in spiritual darkness and doing things that don't make sense, and people are walking around trying to make sense of this life. And Jesus, the light of the world, wants to shine his light and guide us and help us in our direction. We learned that the spiritually homeless, some of you may feel like you're that person, those unsure of where you belong, constantly feeling like you're on the outside, looking in, and you don't belong. We learn that Jesus wants to provide you reference and admittance into his family, and he refers to himself as the door. If you'll just simply walk through him and walk through the door, you no longer have to be on the outside looking on the inside. You no longer have to be homeless, but you can find security. Jared Burwell from Seattle, Pastor Jared, talked to us about Jesus' statement, "I am the good shepherd." And we learned that those of us who feel helpless and hapless can be led by the shepherd who lays down his life for us, that he wants to meet your needs. He wants to meet you where you're at, but he wants to lead you to places that are of safety and security and acceptance. And then last week, Jared talked to us about that great statement that I am the resurrection and the life. And we learned that those who are dead and dying spiritually have the possibility through Jesus to live life abundantly. That life doesn't just to have to just kind of be there. It's full and it's filled and it's the kind of life that God intended for you and I. But today we're going to kind of take on perhaps one of the most radical I am statements of all, where Jesus makes a statement that cannot be ignored, where Jesus makes a statement that we must come face to face with and must learn to, we're going to have to accept or deny this statement, where Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, if you have your Bibles, I think we have it up also on the screen, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Radical, radical statement. Even in our society today, many of us are trying to find a way to find the answers to life's questions. We're trying to find a way to secure our eternal salvation. And Jesus says, "I'm the only way." But to really understand this passage, and really any passage, you have to take the whole Bible in context. And to really fully understand this statement, you got to go all the way back to the beginning. You got to go back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that in the very beginning that God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And God blessed them and he gave them direction. Really what happens we see is the very beginning, God had a plan and God told them what to do. Told them how to do it. He says, be fruitful, be multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. He also told them what not to do. He gave them the truth. He gave them the path. He gave them the way. He says, don't eat. You can eat from this tree, from any tree of the garden. And I wish I had time to preach a sermon on this, including the tree of life. You can eat of everything, include every tree except for the tree of knowledge and good and evil, for on the day you eat from that one, you will certainly die. And God saw that all he made, that's mankind, he saw all that he made, and it was good. It was very good. Life was good. It was very, very good. Just as long as Adam and Eve followed God's way and listened to his word, they experienced an unparalleled communion with God and an unbelievable life provided by God. Life was good, just as God had intended it. Life can be good as God intended, but we must do it his way. We must believe in his word, the truth, and otherwise we will not experience life. And we all know that Adam and Eve left the path that God had purpose for them because they listened to a lie that Satan passed on to them, and that decision to listen to the lie and not follow God's way completely altered an amazing life that God had planned for them. Oh, and it's been that way ever since. If you think about it for a second, ever since the introduction of sin in the garden, mankind, that's you and me, people, have been doing it our way. You do it his or he does it his or her way, believing what they want to believe, who they want to believe, or not knowing what to believe in. And while living our lives for the temporary, we miss out on the beauty of the preparation of eternal life and the life that God has planned for us. Now, you got to understand, there was a way, there was a truth, and there was life at the very beginning. And here we fast forward and right on the precipice of where Jesus is about to go into the garden, be betrayed, led to a cruel cross, crucified, died, and put in a tomb. Jesus is at the upper room discourse, the Last Supper, if you will, which is really bad theology. It was the Lord's Supper, because if I read Revelation, there's going to be a feast in heaven. So it's not the Last Supper. We see here the Lord's Supper, and Jesus is meeting with them in this context. I want you to get this, that he's trying to tell them he's facing death, but he's going to live again. That Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is coming next. And it's all this upper room discourse. We know that that's where he's going to, Judas is going to go out and he's going to go get the 30 pieces of silver. Peter is in the room and says, "I will, who, is it me?" Is it, he goes, I'll never deny you. And Jesus tells him in the upper room, not only are you going to betray me, you're going to do it three times. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And here's what he said to them. Keep in mind, this I am statement's now about to be stated. Your heart must not be troubled. Again, he's telling him he's about to die, he's about to be killed. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. Truth. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. He's talking about life. And he goes on to say, he says, you know the way to where I'm going. And then perhaps one of the most telling statements of the Bible of our condition. Thomas speaks up and pipes up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? What a description of mankind since the fall of mankind in the garden. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to get there from here. How can we know the way? And the answer is still the same as it was in the beginning. It is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says this. He goes, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to pray with me, if you will. God, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you for who you are. I thank you, God, that you have a design for each and every one of us here this morning, that you purposely created us to have relationship with you. That you told us how to do it, what not to do. And God, your word is truth and you've never lied. It's impossible for you to lie. And you want us to have life. And you saw what sin did to us. It ravaged us and it separated us. And you loved us so much, you weren't content to leave us in that situation. So you sent Jesus to show us the way. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence today. I pray that you would help us understand how to apply what we're hearing today and what we're saying today, and that you would give us the ability to be obedient today to whatever it is that you want us to do, whether that's put aside something or to take on something. Lord, whatever it is you want to do today, I pray that your word would be quickened in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, real quick, three things I want to show you. There's three statements of Jesus. These three statements within the greater statement have three very important truths. And the first, where Jesus says in verse number 6, I am the way. That word way comes from a Greek word that implies progress, that it's a progress on a journey. And what I would tell you is part of that truth is what I believe Jesus was trying to prepare them for, that it didn't just start there and it didn't just end there. It was going to be a journey. And here's what I would tell you that I believe we need to learn from this is that you and I cannot stay where we're at and go with God. We must follow God. And our key word, if you're taking notes, a key word would be redirection. We're going in the wrong direction when we're not going God's way. And what God is wanting us to do is get redirected and understand the direction we're supposed to go. Mankind, you and I, are constantly seeking direction instead of focusing on destination. I want you to think about that for a second. You and I focus a lot on direction, how to, what do we do, instead of destination. And listen, that doesn't make any sense, because when you're focusing on direction instead of destination, you'll never get there, and it leaves us aimless, wandering around, not knowing what to do. We have to focus on direction. You see, destination drives direction. If you get in your car after we dismiss here in a few minutes and you don't have a goal in mind, you will never get there. You'll drive around and not get anywhere. You'll be going in different directions and making turns and stops and probably having to get gas because you still haven't arrived because you don't know where you're wanting to go. See, destination always drives direction. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus, like he told his disciples, is telling us today that the great I am is the destination who determines our direction. If you're not focused on Jesus, then the things that you do are not going to be the things that you need to do. Many of us are doing the wrong things because we're focused on the wrong destination. There are always two roads and two destinations. You got man's road. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I was reading this week, I was trying to think about direction and travel, and I was reading online about all of these accidents that happen with GPS. How many of you use GPS on your cell phone? I got to be able to see a little better. Okay. It is amazing that we will listen to GPS to the T, but we won't listen to Jesus. And I was reading all of these accidents, and these people came and they would drive into ditches because GPS told them to. There's a picture of a van out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean because the man said it told me to drive straight. People have driven off cliffs because it told them that's where it was, or ran into other buildings and stuff. We will listen to man's GPS direction and get messed up, but then we wonder if we don't listen to God, why we don't get where we're supposed to go. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And then there's God's road. There's only two ways to do this, our way or God's way. It's not rocket science. We've already established that it is impossible for God to lie. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, the prophet Isaiah talked about a road. He said, a road will be there and a way, and it will be called the holy way. The unclean will not travel on it. In other words, those that don't know the Holy One can't travel on this road, but it will be for the one who walks the path. Even the fool will not go astray. Really is what he's saying, it's dummy proof if you do it God's way. That's what he's saying. If we'll do it God's way, we'll get to the destination that's buried within us where we all really want to get to. We want to get to the destination, and we may not even know why, but there's something inside of each of us, this desire to be reconnected or redirected to our Creator. We can't get there doing it our way. We have to do it God's way. Your destination depends on this question: whose way will you choose? Jesus says, I'm the way. Thomas said, we don't know how to get there. Jesus tells him the truth. He says, I am the way. I am the one that will lead you to progress on your journey. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post this morning, but many of us, including myself, there's times where we seem to just run in circles. Anybody ever feel like that? You're just getting nowhere, or you're going backwards? I can tell you in my own life, just as confession, when those times come, I'm listening to direction instead of focusing on my destination. I'm listening to man's way instead of following God's way. Because when I am focused on my destination, I am moving forward. Some of you are at a standstill Some of us are at a standstill on our spiritual journeys because we have lost our focus on the great I am. And we focused on, well, what am I? What about me? Jesus goes on to say, well, first off, I said there's two roads, and there are two roads. There's God's way and man's way. But there are also two destinations, and let me just simplify that. There's heaven, that's being with God eternally. There's hell, not being with God, being separated from God eternal. I have yet in my life to meet someone to tell me straight, look me in the face, I want to go to hell. I've had people tell me to go there. I've had people to say that they would see me there. I said, no, your theology is right. If I read the scripture right, because I'm in Christ, you will see me from there, but you'll not see me there. But friends, there's only two destinations. And you need to figure out which one it is that you want to arrive at. And then base your direction on that destination. Jesus goes on to say, not only, again, I am the way, but he says, I am the truth. Now, the interesting part in this word, as you kind of grapple with it and pull it apart a little bit, it talks about, there's not much of a truth is truth. You know, we live in a society that says truth is what it is, you know. I mean, you know, truth is how I see it. No, truth is truth. But yet this particular word, it talks about really more what the opposite of that word is. Jesus says, I'm the truth. I'm the verifying truth. I am what is real. But the antonym is really what they're trying to focus on here a little bit. The opposite of truth is ignorance. And Jesus is really highlighting mankind's ignorance. We don't know how to get there. He's saying, that's where you're at. Here's where I'm at. I'm the truth. I'm what's real. I'm what's going to get you there. Now, the key word here is revelation. Now, I want to kind of explain that to you because mankind is constantly on a search to uncover the truth, to discover the truth. My mentor, Pastor David Pettis, my very first mentor, told me something way back when, and I wrote it on the inside of my Bible, and I believe it to be truth, is that truth is never discovered. It is revealed. Truth is never discovered. It is revealed. You see, mankind, we ask a lot of questions, but we don't find or accept the answers. We make up stuff. Or we listen to people that really don't know what they're talking about. This is an age-old problem. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We live in a society that would rather believe a lie than live in the truth. They worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator, who He is praised forever. You see, the question that we need to be asking is not why or what or how. The question that Jesus is trying to get us to ask is who. Who is the truth? Not what is the truth or why, but who is the truth? Because the great I am is the answer to all our questions. Trust me, there's not a situation that you're going through in life that Jesus is not the answer to. Amen? There's nothing that Jesus is not the answer to. And any question that you may have, Jesus is the answer to the question. And truth is never discovered. It's revealed. And God's truth is revealed in a couple of ways. Number one, he's saying here it's revealed through His Son. John chapter 1, verse 14. John, right at the beginning, says, the Word became flesh and He took up residence among us. The Word. That Word, He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ. We observed His glory. We saw Him. The glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We live in a church world. We want to talk about God's grace and accept that. But we don't want to hear God's truth.
that tells us that God expects some things of us. He demands some things from us. He requires some things of us if we're going to follow Him down the path, down the way. And He's saying, if you want to have the journey and the life that you so desperately say you want to have, you have to do it my way, but you got to follow my directions, which is the truth. So God's truth is revealed in Jesus. He's the standard. He's the compass. He's the map. And for us, it's also revealed. The Word is revealed through His Word. Look what Jesus said in John 8:31. He was talking to believers, Jews who had believed in Him. He says, if, there's a big if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He's got the way. He's given the direction, which is true. There's no variance here. He's not going to run you off in a ditch. He's going to get you where you need to go. The question is, who and what will you choose to believe? There's a country song, and I can't remember it, and I certainly won't sing it for you. But it's kind of a patriotic song that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I can't remember who sings it. Don't really care. But that there's a lot of, you know, we'll fall for everything and not believe the truth. You know, how many of us, when we're going through life's problem, the first place we go is Oprah. Dr. Oz, a consultant, and we leave Jesus as the very last resort when He ought to be. If He is the truth, He ought to be the first place we go. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what questions you may have, but Jesus says, I'm the truth. Anything else do you really want to listen to if it's not the truth? He goes on to say, this third part of this great statement, I am statement, he says, I am the life. And this word is active. It's not something in the future. He's saying, I'm the life. I'm life now. I'm what causes you to be alive. And this word means to live life for a lifetime. Is what this word is. You extrapolate it out. He's saying, it's not just you say yes to me and then one day you have eternal life. When we say yes to Jesus, that's when life begins and we begin living our life, doing it His way, living His truth, experience life. That's what we begin to experience. But yet mankind wants to live life for the now and we don't think about the later. Just do it. But see, if we're focused on Christ, then what we do now, we will begin to experience the kind of life that God has for us. We live our lives as people for ourselves instead of dying to ourselves. That's who you and I are. Amen? Let's just be real. It's all about what I want, not about what He wants. Because if it was all about what He wants, friends, I'm going to tell you, you want to see revival break out? You want to see the church get on fire for Jesus? Let's quit living for ourselves and start living for Him that the world may know that Jesus is alive. That's what He's telling them. Hey, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. This stuff is real, and I want you to have life now. You don't put it on hold. The great I am, He gave His life. Matthew, Jesus said, anyone finding his life, if you're focused on your own life and what you're going to do and what you're going to get out of life, anyone finding his life will lose it. And anyone losing his life because of me, now that's important, because of me. You can lose your life for stupidity. But you can, he says, because of me, you will find it. If you do it through the great I am, you will find what you're looking for. Jesus said it this way, my last verse. I'm come that they may have life and have it in abundance. But that's just the second part of that verse. Jesus says, I'm coming that you may have life. But as He often did, Jesus gave a comparison. And He gave the bad news up front. He said the thief, He's talking about the enemy, He's talking about Satan, He's talking about old ugly, our enemy, not our friend, somebody we can toy with. He says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's one choice. But I have come that you might have life. And not just then, when you get to heaven, but I've come that you might have life, this word life now, lifetime, life forever, that you may have it to the full or have it in abundance. Many of you knew we were stationed in Germany for many years. We lived there for 27 years, Karen, all of her life, except since we moved back here. But, you know, there in the day, the church was on fire. Reformation happened. And it came through individuals who had radical encounters with God that they couldn't live life status quo anymore. And one of those was the great reformer, interesting dude, Martin Luther. And inside Martin Luther's Bible, there was written just inside, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Man, that'll warp your thinking right there. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And so to explain that, Greg Laurie, evangelist Greg Laurie, who will be in town this in 2018, he said, he explained that as he was looking at it. He says, if you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. And he says, by being born once, I mean the physical birth. If all you are experiencing is just the physical birth, you'll die twice. Physically and spiritually. By born twice, I mean a physical birth as well as a spiritual birth in which you are born again, spiritually putting your faith in Christ. Now, your physical birth. Every one of you here this morning were born, right? You had a physical birth. But every one of you sitting here this morning did not have a choice in your physical birth. That was decided by someone else. But everyone here this morning has a choice you must make, that you get to make, and must make is how you will live spiritually. You get to choose, will you experience a second birth? That's your choice and yours alone. No one can make that choice for you. Your parents can't make that for you. Your wife can't make that for you. Your husband can't make that for you. Your dad, your mom, your friends. You get to choose whether or not you will experience a second birth, which will give you life eternally. And how you choose is literally a matter of life and death. And Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Listen to what Jesus told in John 3. We know John 3:16, but you got to read a little further to get all of it. The one who believes in the Son, the way, the truth, the life, has eternal life. But, man, anytime you see but in the Bible, you need to kind of heads up, something's coming. But the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. I think some of the things that we face in life, some of the relationship stuff that we deal with, when you peel back all the layers, you'll see that maybe in a marriage relationship, one or the other or neither knows Jesus. Well, did we expect a really great outcome? Or maybe one loves the Lord and the other doesn't. It's a constant struggle, and we know that this person's need, who doesn't know Jesus, his greatest or her greatest need is to know Jesus. Because if they'll get that right, they'll start heading in the right direction. If they'll get that right, they will start believing a truth instead of a lie. If they get that right, their life will be transformed. If they get that wrong, then they're really not experiencing life at all. So here's the question as we kind of wrap this up. Whose life will you live? Yours or his? If you experience his, you'll experience his life. If you experience yours, you're going to experience your life. Which is the better deal? So as we close, as I always try to, is ask two questions. Number one is, so what? Well, I want us to go back again to our main passage, the I am statement. Let's take one last look. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I want you to look at that. And I want you to notice a couple of things. Notice that Jesus didn't say that he was a way. He didn't say he was one way. He didn't say he was some way. He didn't say he was a good way, or he didn't even say he was the best way. Notice as you look at that verse, he didn't say he was a truth, that he was one truth, some truth, good truth, or even the best truth. Notice he didn't say he was a life, one life, some life, a good life, even your best life now. He didn't say that. Here in this scripture, Jesus intentionally used the definitive article, the. Means there is no other. He stated that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you say, what's important about that? Friends, here it is. If it's not the way, it's the wrong way. If it's not the truth, it's a lie, according to Jesus. And if it's not the life, it's not life at all. The great I am offers you a life, a purpose-filled, joy-filled, hope-filled, Christ-filled life. But the person not walking with Jesus is going the wrong way. A person not trusting in Jesus and listening to his word is believing a lie. A person not living for Jesus and because of Jesus is not really living at all. That's so what? So now what? You have to make a choice. And your life and my life, that includes all of it. How we talk, how we walk, where we walk, what we do, what we don't do. Our whole life will reflect this choice. But listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, who came to experience this truth, this great I am himself. He said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it." My prayer, my hope, and my heart is that this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I'm not talking about know of him. Everybody knows of him or you wouldn't be here. I'm talking about if you don't know Jesus, that today you would come to know the great I am, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father, I suspect that there are some who are here today that are searching for answers to their questions. Their lives and their hearts are in such disarray that really, the only thing that could really describe what's going on inside is turmoil. They're aimless. And yet, in your infinite love and infinite wisdom, in your great scheduling, you brought them here today to be confronted with Jesus, one who loves them, one who proved that love by giving up his own life so that they might have abundant life. And yet, for whatever reason, whatever lie that's been passed on to them by Satan, they're believing that, no, if I just change this, or if I just do this a little different, or if I just quit doing that, that somehow my life will turn around. And yet today they would be honest with you and say they know that's not the truth, because they don't know you. They've not been traveling your way. They've not been believing your truth. And they're not experiencing life. If that's you this morning, just be honest with God this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just tell God, my life is not what I know you want it to be. My life is not what I want it to be. And I realize today that my life is that way because I don't know you, Jesus. And I want to know you. I want to experience the great I am, not just intellectually, but completely, emotionally, spiritually, physically, completely. Just tell him that in your own words. God, I've been doing it my way, and I am so sorry because I realize today it is the wrong way. God, I've been listening to my own thoughts, my own understanding, and following my own wisdom or the wisdom of those around me, and God, it's got me in a pickle. And I'm so wrapped up and turned around, I don't know what to do. I'm aimless, God, and I need you to now shine your word into my heart and make this word come alive and let me see your truth. Let me see Jesus. God, I so desperately in my heart want to experience life as you intended it from the very beginning. Communion with you. Listening and following your direction. Experiencing life eternal that's provided by you alone. Not doing it my way, but doing it your way. If that's you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. You'd say, Jay, that's me. I'm aimless. I need the I am in my life. And for the first time today, I realize I don't have him in my life. Would you pray for me? Nobody looking around. Just raise your hand. Catch my eye and put it back down. Anybody here this morning, you'd say, Jay, would you please pray for me? I'm aimless. I need Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. Several of you have raised your hand. Anybody else? Because I want to pray for you. Just catch my eye real quick and put it back down if you haven't already. Okay, thank you. All right, for those, go ahead and put your hand back down, hands back down, and here's what I would ask you to do. Here's what I believe Jesus would ask you to do. In fact, one of his truths is he says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, that basically he was born, he lived a perfect life, he was crucified, and he was buried, and he was raised again. If you believe that in your heart, that Jesus is who he says he is, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That means you will experience that second birth, which is really true life. So what does that mean? Today, when we get ready to dismiss, our elders and their wives and deacons and their wives are going to remain after the service. And I'm going to challenge you. There were several of you that raised your hand. This is just between us. But now it needs to be the second part of God's truth. You got to confess it. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When everybody else is leaving, just come and take them one by the hand and say, look, I prayed that prayer. I'm aimless and I want to be in Jesus. Won't take long. They're just going to pray with you for just a second, maybe get a little bit of information so we can send you some helps and maybe get you on the, and we can come alongside you and help you and pray for you. I want you to do that. Now, church, we've got people that have claimed that and have been honest. And by the way, that takes courage. Who've admitted their need for Jesus. So will you follow their example and be honest and say, and just if you would say to me, Jay, I know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, but if I'm going to be honest, I've gotten off the path. I'm doing it my way again instead of his way. And I need to get back on the path. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and put it back down? Say, I'm off the way. I don't know that. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. God bless you. Anybody else? Now, here's what you need to do. It's pretty simple as well. Same thing. Just tell God in your own words, God, I've gotten away from your way. I've been listening to something other than your truth. And so, God, I want that life back, that life abundance that you promise. And I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be who you want me to be. Oh, great I am. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to tell you the same thing. You prayed that prayer. There's something about sharing with somebody and getting some encouragement from a fellow person on the journey with you that will encourage you. So I'm going to encourage you after we sing, a couple announcements, you're going to be dismissed, then to come and stay. Just pray for just a minute. Say, I prayed that prayer. I'm a person that needs to get back on the path. I've been on the path. I know Jesus, but I've gotten off the path. I've made some bad choices. Then come and pray. Okay? God, you saw the hands, but more importantly, you saw the hearts. And I'm sure, God, there are more hearts that said yes to those questions that raised their hands. God, I pray now as we respond, as we stand and sing, and Lord, that we would respond accordingly. Whether you want us to come and pray down front, if you want us to pray where we're at, if you're telling us to go get right with somebody, Lord, I don't know. But whatever you tell us to do, there is only one way, only one truth, and only one life. And Jesus, we proclaim that is you, Jesus Christ, and we want to follow you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, let's sing, and you respond as God sees fit.